This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Vicky Marie Buchanan,
David John Jones,
A Yearly,
Jane Bolton,
and I'm Stuart Burks. So John, you were quite successful at some athletics in Wales.
Oh, just hello, woman.
1953 individual winner of Welsh.
Ah, oh, this is a fancy. What would you? It's not a badge, is it? It's something you can, a pendant type of thing that you can hang on. DJ Jones, individual winner, 1953. And winner of cross country championship, and that's a Welsh cross country championship.
Yes,
with the Welsh Dragon. And there's there's a picture of someone looking athletic, a fleur de lis. I'm not quite sure what those are, whether they're corn cobs or insects or something. You'd know better than I do.
These are the English national championships.
Oh, okay.
Came 10th in that.
Wow, yeah.
Could have been a name.
And then
we've got the youth championship.
North Wales champion once.
Second
wow.
team. Yep.
And
right.
Then I used to go to Coventry, and that was what? A run for Coventry Godiva Harriers.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a naked lady on a horse on our vest.
Oh, Lady Godiva. Yeah. Winner Northwest Junior Cross Country 1953.
And
North Wales. Yep.
Yeah, North Wales.
Mm. And some more.
Some more.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then another one.
Yeah, North Wales. That's youth first 1954. So you kept it up.
You should be. How's he
going to
inherit all these?
Smethwick Telephone Road Relay
Team.
How's he going
to inherit all these?
How's
he going to inherit them all?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then that's my father's North Wales Challenge Cup soccer badge.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So that's my father's.
Mm.
Yeah.
So a sporting family.
Huh?
A sporting family.
Soccer.
Running. So did the running come through school, or did the running come through just your interest afterwards?
Oh, I just... I had this...
did you have to run
record,
to school? Yeah.
22 minutes, 40 seconds for 3.5 miles cross country.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was,
did you have to run to school, or bike to school?
Well,
or
I was telling you really a while back, we used to walk...
Mm-hmm.
3 miles. I used to go over the golf course.
Yeah.
Down the other side, down into Bangor.
Yeah.
Along through Bangor, through the town, up the other side, up the hill to Friar School.
Yeah. And you walked or you ran?
Walked,
or you
yes.
Yep.
And then walked back home, and yeah.
So and that.
And then
got
middle
you fit.
Winter, there was snow and
yep.
yeah. So yes.
So about how long would it take you?
Oh, it'd be about 30 minutes walk. To school, easy.
Oh, that's pretty, yeah, that's going pretty fast.
I did that,
yeah,
I did
yeah.
that for... Well, if it was really wet, I could get the bus, but
yeah.
I used to walk, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I started running and won the school cross-country championship. Mm. And so then there was another fellow called Tony Pomfret, and he said, why don't you come run for Coventry Godiva Harriers in Coventry? Which is a hell of a way away. So we used to go up once a month and run there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then I decided, I'll give it. I went rock climbing then, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Because in North Wales, it's beautiful there, too.
Yeah.
Rocks and cross country, isn't it? You've got the landscape for both.
Yeah.
So when you came here, you were fishing, but did you do any other sport?
Well, I played soccer, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Played soccer at the weekends, fishing on the Sunday sort of thing. So, and then with school holidays, there were, you know, times to go during the week,
So was there much soccer here? Because the emphasis would have been on rugby, wouldn't it?
No, it was quite a good soccer team. Yeah. And I played for St. Andrews.
Yeah.
And we had a little badge. I'll never forget the little badge.
Yeah.
It was a little heart-shaped badge about that big.
Oh, about an inch or 2.5 centimetres.
Yeah, and on the badge was a blue background, and then there was a stick, person, you know, head, two legs. Sort of.
Oh, yeah.
And then his front leg was up, just like the St. Book, but he had a ball on the end of his foot.
Oh, football.
St. Andrews?
Yes,
But they've now gone by the board.
Yeah, yeah.
There used to be quite a few teams locally.
Okay. Yeah.
We used to go to Whanganui as well.
So did you practice during the week as well, or you just...
Yes, twice a week, in the showgrounds.
Yeah, okay.
And the thing about the showgrounds, not many people know this, it may have changed now, but we went down and there's all this beautiful lush grass, ran out on the paddock and went over your boots in water. It was
full
of water.
So that would be... Now, in those days, you would have had one of the leather footballs that got very heavy if wet, was it?
Yeah, on to the other ones.
Yeah, so did you head the ball a lot? Because I think in that weight it was a bit difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I was normally a winger, so I didn't head all much.
Okay, yeah.
But just to sort of go off that, when you mentioned the soccer ball.
Yeah.
There were two soccer players in Britain called Matthews and Maltison.
Yeah.
Both played for Blackpool, and Matthews was on the wing, and Maltison was the centre forward.
Mm.
And Maltison was asked, because Stanley Matthews was still playing A-grade soccer, sort of, in his 40s.
Mm.
And he said, do you think he's still up to it? Oh, he said, yeah, he's still up to it, he said. He said, in the old days, you were on the wing. Yeah, he said. I used to send that ball up into the middle, he said. I'd get up, boom, and head it. Matthews would send it up every time.
Yeah.
Was he really good? And I'll never forget this statement. Yeah, but occasionally I headed the lace. In other words, Matthews was so good that he could send the ball halfway across the paddock, and when you headed it, you didn't get the lace because he worked it out how many.
Oh, yes.
How many turns? Yeah, because the laces would be.
Where was I?
Sport here. You were playing football.
Football and
fishing.
What about in summer then? Because football would be in winter.
I got too old.
Yeah.
I was still playing. Then I started going out hunting with a friend. Both of them just died.
Yeah.
Recently. And this is another story now. One of my hunting mates just died about a month ago.
Yeah.
He's buried in Ashurst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was asked to be pallbearer. So I go down there, and I'm carrying the coffin over, and boom, I went down into the
grave.
Into the grave.
Oh.
You fell in the grave.
Dear.
Yes.
You fell in the grave.
Yes.
Before the coffin.
Hey?
Before the coffin went in.
Yes. I hurt my leg. I was off for 8 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he was one of my hunting. So we used to go up the bush here.
Yeah.
From the place, Frank Arben's place.
Uh-huh.
Which is up by that little church up the bottom of the valley.
Okay.
Off there.
Yeah.
And the three of us.
Yeah.
We're all in our... Well, I was still doing it in 72. Don was 75. Bob, the youngster, was 69.
Yeah.
And we used to go up there, sleep under the in the bush.
Yeah.
Hunt deer. Yeah. Mm. And we had a little Honda. Each one of us had a little Honda motorbike. Mm. We used to go up in this little motorbike. Yeah.
So you'd ride that up into the bush.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, start the bush edge.
Yeah.
And the farmer, he referred to us as the Honda Patrol.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So when you if you shot a deer, you just carry it out?
Yes. Well, I have carried them out, but they're quite heavy.
Yeah.
So we used to bone them out and get all the meat. Back steaks
and
carried it. Split it between us.
Yes.
Okay.
That was quite a change from teaching.
I was going to say, so you're into your retirement years now.
Yeah, 72.
Yeah. So how old were you when you retired?
Well, I was retired, 65.
Okay.
64 and a half.
Because at one stage it was compulsory retirement at 60, wasn't it?
Yes. One of the guys in the, the fellas, Don, the one that died recently, he and his wife organised their retirement around the fact that he was going to retire at 65.
Yeah.
And both, they got knocked all their ideas out because he was 70. Oh, sorry, I got it the wrong way around.
Yeah.
He was going to retire at 60.
Yeah.
And then, just as we were getting towards the last 2 or 3 months, 65. But in a it was gauged.
Yes.
You did 12 months. For each 12 months, you had to do an extra 6. So it was 2.5 years more.
Yeah.
And so he retired. And,
John, did you see a difference in the numbers of deer when you first started hunting till you gave it up? Did the deer population increase?
The population has increased,
yes.
Apparently so, yeah. But we would see quite a few over the, at night during the day.
Were they fallow? Were they fallow?
No, they were mainly red. Nearly always red. What we did was we sat on a little ledge we found at a fly camp behind us, and we'd sit there with binoculars and the valley going down to the river and did the slips. There's one, whereabouts, so-and-so. We had names for all these places. And then we'd go down and hunt, go up the bush and boom, hopefully. Not always happened.
No.
But, yeah.
Did you see any pigs as well?
Pigs? Mm. Yeah, we got the odd pig.
Mm.
Yeah, there were not a lot.
Okay.
I think I could count them on my fingers.
Yeah.
About
and goats? 20,
about 20 over 20 odd years or so.
And goats? Were there any goats up there?
There weren't any goats at all.
Okay.
No.
So
but I believe there are some further
down
the run.
So if you were shooting, did you practice the shooting on a range or something before?
What was that?
Did you practice shooting on a range?
Oh, we'd normally, sort of sight the rifle in, in the farmland.
Yeah.
We'd sight it. We knew there was nobody about.
So
we could see where we were firing, and we had couple of rocks we'd aim at and
But did you did you do a lot of shooting besides just hunting, or
practiced
your aim and
just hunting? But I made a loader for loading your own bullets. I made one of those and so I got that and
so how did you plan your retirement, or you had ideas what to do once you retired, or
when I retired? I had plenty of furniture to do.
I
went down. Bob and I, that's the third member of the group, we went down to Seaforth. And there was a company sold wood, imported wood, and I bought $3,000 worth and another $2,500 worth of timber, and took got it just ordinary planks and section
yeah.
about that big. Brought it all up here and then, yeah, machined it. And, yeah. So. So Bob came with me down there with full load, $3,000 worth of quite a lot of wood.
Yeah.
And it was all sapele, which
yeah.
is a poor man's mahogany. It's not as good as mahogany, but it's
okay.
pretty good.
But it's imported, is it from? Is it imported?
Yes, it's African wood. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the clock there that tells another story. The I was in, I'd finished a desk out there, and we were in the bush up there, and we had a rule, you had to keep talking till 8:30 at night. Otherwise, 5:30, it's dark, 7:30, it's light again, but that'd be a long night.
Mm.
Yeah,
so we kept
yeah.
talking till 8:30. And I'm lying there, my sleeping bag, and Bob said, I was saying, I've finished that now, and he said, well, what are you going to do next? And I said, fancy the grandfather clock. I said, what was fancy making a grandfather clock? And he said, you couldn't make two, could you? So I said,
yeah.
well, look, Bob, a couple of minutes went by, and I said, look, Bob, I tell you what, you buy the mechanical parts, I'll buy the timber and make the rest, and you're in. And he said, all right,
yeah.
buddy,
yeah.
okay. Yeah,
so I made two of those,
yeah.
Yeah,
wow, yeah.
Very good.
Mm.
Yeah,
you made the mechanical parts as well.
No, no.
All oh, right.
No.
Beautiful, beautiful brass
yeah.
face. So, where did he get the brass face from?
From America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Over here.
They actually, a good company, Woodcraft, they called.
Right.
And they sent the wrong brass to cylinders.
Yes.
Well, there's lead in those.
Yeah.
And they sent the wrong ones.
Ah.
So I rung them up and I said, hey, look, I've got this clock for my mate's 60th, and you've sent the wrong one, lower weights. Oh, he said, well, we'll sort that out. And I said, well, how much is it going to cost me? And he said, nothing. He said, we won't charge you.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent them by airmail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lead by airmail.
Wow, that's good.
And I got them, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it's a lovely clock shop
yeah.
shop in Waipawa too,
yes.
isn't it? I had a grandfather clock and went over there for repairs. Yeah.
Now, your clock, you've got the normal clock face with numbers 1 to 12, but then above it, you've got
the moon.
Numbers 5, 10, 15, 20, 25.
That's a month.
Ah, okay.
Wow.
Okay,
so.
And on top of that, that's the phases of the moon. So
oh,
that middle
okay.
cylinder there,
yeah.
the circle, sorry, the middle circle on the lower
yeah.
part there, that moves
okay
round
oh.
and it lines up with the date if you set it all
right.
okay
mm.
yeah.
ah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm. So okay, now one thing we haven't covered, because you're from Wales, you grew up in Wales and then you spent time in England and came out
yes.
here. Do you see your Welsh identity as something significant?
Do I find my Welsh side?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very proud of being Welsh.
Yeah.
You know, and one big thing I've always regretted is the fact that I didn't become fluent in talking Welsh.
Yeah.
Mainly because English was spoken in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't, so that's one of the big regrets I've got.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, I can, and then I enjoy singing and what have you.
Yeah, so you've got the standard good Welsh singing voice, is it?
What do you think, dear?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah,
he's
got a thumbs up from his wife.
No, I'm not his wife.
Oh, sorry.
That's quite all right.
Oh. Am a garlic trust, a garlic eva enig, and will vam.
Who was that amazing Welsh singer you lent me the disc of?
Oh, Bryn Terfel.
Bryn Terfel, yeah.
Yes.
Amazing
yes.
voice.
Yes.
That's right, amazing voice.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yeah.
it's a,
yeah.
And I've got on the wall there. Did you notice when you came in? Yes. On the wall,
no,
Sooner Gwynt. Now, I had a friend in Miramar living,
yeah,
and he was going to Australia, and he had this side on the, in Welsh slate,
yes,
Sooner Gwynt, and he said, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with this. So
yeah,
I said, well, just the place for it. And so
yes,
that's how that got there. And Sooner Gwynt, which is very appropriate for where we live here, murmur of the winds, it means.
Oh, okay.
Soon is sound.
Yeah.
The Gwynt is wind.
Sound of the wind.
So,
yeah.
I once member of, I used to go to the Welsh, St. David's Day down in Wellington.
Oh,
but when
yeah,
this guy went to Australia to live, I got out of touch. And
So there's not really an expatriate Welsh community, you think? Or?
No.
Okay.
But, you know.
So it's not like, say, the Scots with their clan things and
yes,
so on. Is there anything parallel with that?
The thing that always amuses me, if a teacher in the school said, in the classrooms, right, class of 31, right, Jones, get out.
Yeah,
about 29
yeah,
would start walking towards the door.
Yes.
And then if he
yeah,
said, not all the Joneses, just John Jones, about 2 would sit down.
Yeah.
And yes, it's sort of. And the funny thing is, there's no J in the Welsh alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing.
So where did Jones come from then? Or was it pronounced differently?
I was told one time a lot of names were how you get John Jones.
Yeah.
Evan Bevan.
Yeah.
Now Bevan is shortened from Mab Evan. So apparently in England also, in those days, they used to name the father.
Oh, yes, son.
The son was named after the father.
Yes.
So Bevan is a shortening of.
Oh, son of Evan.
M-A-B. Mab Evan.
Yeah.
Mab is son.
Oh, so it's like the Scottish Mac.
Drop the M-A,
yeah,
Bevan, and that gives
yeah,
a surname.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Johan up Johan and things like that. And
So was there much Welsh language spoken? You grew up in Bangor, in the town or in a village?
No, I lived in a housing estate outside called Maes y Gelchen, which is fields of oats. Maes is fields, Gelchen is oats.
Yeah.
So fields of oats. And I lived there in state housing sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, the people that were out there, English was still spoken more in Bangor.
Yeah.
You get out into the outside, further out, small villages, and they all spoke Welsh.
Yeah. Now, you said something, you grew up in a housing estate, but you passed your 11 plus and went to grammar school. Was that exceptional?
Acceptable, yes.
Exceptional? Was it unusual?
No, because once you pass the 11 plus...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your family value education and learning then?
I realise now how good my education was.
Yes.
It was English literature. We didn't just do English, we did English literature and English language.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found a lot of poetry. You know, one line that it always comes back to me, tired eyelids upon tired eyes.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple, but it really affects me.
Yeah.
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 And the Ancient Mariner, that poem, you know, and Maud Arthur.
Yes, yeah.
We used to think we had to learn the next 20 lines of this. And he used to think, God almighty, what am I doing this for? But later on in life you realise,
So all day long the noise of
battle
rolled
amongst the mountains by the winter sea until King Arthur's table, man by man, had fallen about
wireless. And nearness about their law.
Then
King Arthur.
You both went to the same.
And the Ancient Mariner, you know, that was fabulous.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, there were some good things there.
Yeah, so we had... it was good, I think.
Yeah.
Mind you got a little bit of stick from the people who failed.
Yes,
you know, they,
yeah.
They thought because you passed the 11 plus that, yeah, to a certain extent there was something wrong with,
yeah,
you.
That's why. About what proportion in your class would have passed the 11 plus?
Well, they would have before they took the 11 plus, you mean?
No. You would have been in a class at school,
oh,
and
yeah,
you took the 11 plus.
All of them passed
the 11 plus?
Yeah.
Were you streamed in the school, so you're in the top,
yeah,
four?
Yeah, there wasn't many streams, just A and B.
Okay.
And they were mainly...
They all passed the 11 plus?
Yes.
Were they all from the housing estate?
Working class, yeah. Well,
that was pretty,
yeah,
exceptional then for
sections.
Britain, surely.
They were doctors' sons and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, just a general cross-section of the
population. That sounds as if your school was quite exceptional to achieve.
Yeah. I had a sister who passed the 11 plus, so she went to the county grammar school.
Were they following your parents as well? Had they done well academically?
My parents?
Yeah.
Oh... My father was a joiner, he was in the First World War.
Yeah.
And my mother, I don't know, she was a dressmaker.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean that they weren't necessarily in themselves self-educated or whatever.
No.
Literate.
No. Well, that's...
My father was, you know, one thing, I was telling you really a while back, we do crosswords quite a lot.
Yeah.
And, my father would be doing the Daily Mail crossword, and we used to sort of help give him a hand, and we'd be stuck, you see, and my mother would say, "What are you stuck on?" "No, you won't know, Peggy." My mother's name was Peggy.
Yeah.
"Carry on, you know." And then she said, then she'd say, "Give the answer."
Thank you for listening to Manuatu Conversations. This and other recent programmes can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programmes is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.